Good morning and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name's Mary Mullen and my pronouns are she and her. I've been a member of Prairie since 1981. And over those many years, I've served in quite a number of capacities at Prairie. My first participation was as a lay minister, and then eventually I became a program chair and eventually president for a couple of years. And I've been a member of what's now called the nominating committee. And most recently, I was the history committee chair for 5 years while we were working on the history book. And now I'm the archives committee chair. So that's a little thumbnail of me. Prairie aspires to be both an open-minded and open-hearted congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, family structure, age, or abilities. During our virtual coffee hour at the end of the service, we invite visitors, guests, and returning friends to introduce yourselves so that we might get to know you better. We'll also have joys and concerns during that time. I have 7 announcements. You can count them as I do them. We're sharing our offering this quarter with the Street Pulse. Street Pulse is an organization and name of the newspaper that provides income to Madison's homeless through direct newspaper sales. You used to see those salespeople down on State Street next to the drugstore. That's where I always saw them. I think you paid $1 for the newspaper and they probably got 50 cents of it. You can go to Prairie's website and click on Give to make an offering. For the following activities, the details of how to join them using Zoom are in our administrator's June 19, 2020 Prairie News of the Week. And this only goes to the people who are signed up to Prairie News, not to those who are signed up for Prairie Views. So on Mondays, and this in this case is June 22nd, there's virtual Dungeons and Dragons, the beginners group. On Wednesday, the 24th, there's Wednesday Fun with Holly, and everybody's welcome to join by Zoom. Then on Friday, the 26th, there's virtual Dungeons and Dragons, the advanced group at 4:30. There's a new monthly Zoom group, Creativity and Connection, led by Peggy Small. And it's this Saturday, June 27th at 10 a.m. And this week, the project will be Fantasy Maps. Next Sunday's service is called Building Our Future and will include a video tour of the meeting house. It'll be a short service. And you might want to attend also the General Assembly during this whole week, starting on Wednesday and going through Sunday. It's the 59th Annual General Assembly, and 4,000 people have registered already. It's virtual this year. Starts on Wednesday, and it's all online. And those who are registered can participate in everything, including the many workshops. And even those who haven't can listen to all the general business sessions and 3 different services. And you can view the programs. If you just go to uua.org/GA/offsite2020. And the services are at 6 p.m. on Monday and Tuesday. And then on Sunday morning, you can tune into the one at 9 or the one at noon. And you can look at the whole program booklet on the GA site as well. So we're ready for our opening song, Pity the Worm, written and performed by Carl Wacker. And I think you can sing along if you like, because I think the words are going to be on the screen.
Okay.
Action.
Oh, pity the worm in the dark underground, who must wiggle and squirm just to circle around. Oh, pity the worm who wears wet, slimy skin. He has no arms or legs and not even a chin. Oh, pity the worm when the rains flush him out, when the fisherman comes and the robin's about. Oh, pity the worm living down in the dirt. He has no clothes at all, not even a shirt. Oh, pity the worm, he sure got it tough, with nothing to eat but rotten, smelly stuff. So when your life is awful and you want to curse, just think of the worm, please, it sure could be worse.
Thank you, Randy. Carl. So Randy Converse will read our chalice lighting and Kathy will light the chalice. If you have a chalice or a candle nearby, you might want to light your own during this time.
Nature has introduced great variety into the landscape, but man has displayed a passion for simplifying it. Thus, he undoes the built-in checks and balances by which nature holds species within bounds. Rachel Carson. Now we shall enter into a moment of silent meditation.
Our story for all ages today is a book related to today's adult theme. I'm Not Too Little to Help the Earth by W.V. Taylor, illustrated by Natalia Vasquez. And Randy's our reader. He's going to show us the book, Not Too Little to Help the Earth.
The earth is our home, and we all can do our part. I may be little now, but it's not too early to start. When a can is empty, it goes in the blue bin. Then it can become something new again. I color on both sides of the paper I use for art. Then I mail it as a card and warm someone's heart. I don't always have to buy something new. If I trade toys with my friends, that's a new toy for me too. Before I go outside to play, I turn off the TV. That's the way that I can help to save electricity. If I turn off the faucet, water won't go to waste while brushing my teeth and washing my face. Just because I'm young and small doesn't mean I'm not aware of all the things even I can do to show the earth I care. That's the end.
A lot of good ideas. Thank you, Randy. At this time, I'd like to introduce our presenter for today, Kathy Converse. Kathy's a Vermonter. She attended the universities of Connecticut and Massachusetts and has a BS in natural resources conservation and an MS and PhD in fisheries and wildlife biology. She also has an RN degree from the University of Vermont Health Center. Kathy worked for the U.S. Department of Interior as a wildlife disease specialist at the National Wildlife Health Research Center. I believe that's here in Madison. She conducted investigations of disease events in free-living wildlife throughout the United States, and I believe some of them were frogs. After retirement, Kathy worked as a scientist emeritus for many years, and she tutored middle school and high school students, kids in math and science. She's been a really active member of Prairie since joining in 1996. She's held the position of finance chair or treasurer for a whole 12 years altogether. And she's also served as social action chair, green sanctuary chair, and has been a lay minister. Another specialty has been as a mover and shaker for the pre-holiday Nifty Gifty event for children, which she's participated in for probably most of the time she's been a member. Kathy's also a fabulous knitter. She loves gardening, photography, watercolor painting, fishing, hiking, and spending time with her family. Please welcome Kathy Converse, who will be presenting our service, How Prairie UU Members and Friends Are Tending the Earth, with reflections by Rachel Carson. Take it away, Kathy.
Good morning. As she had said, the title is How Prairie Members and Friends Are Tending the Earth, with reflections by Rachel Carson, who is one of a little bit about Rachel Carson before we continue. She did live from the 40s into the 60s. She was a biologist and an environmentalist and created a lot of awareness against pesticides, particularly with her book, Silent Spring. Ironically, she did die of cancer. And she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. So it's impossible to summarize all the amazing work that our dedicated members and friends have done. And I really feel that it's a healing of our hearts and minds, a lot of the things that we do. And I requested photos and comments, and these have been submitted to me by friends, members and friends. I had to take the liberty a couple times to find some pictures. And I did omit last names to protect privacy. Those who dwell as scientists or laymen among the beauties and mysteries of the earth are never alone or weary of life. Rachel Carson. Probably one of the strongest activities, at least probably given that it's spring and summer and a lot of people are quarantined and have plenty of time to garden this year, starting first with community gardens. We have people involved with several different communities. Here on the right is Barb Park, and on the bottom, one of her plots. And bottom is Aunt Mary's. As you notice, they have big areas. They're in the Marlboro Community Gardens. They have tilled and untilled areas. And as you know, in the bottom one of Mary's, that she has used mulch both for reducing weeds and for holding moisture in the soil. And as I said, Barb also used tilled and untilled plots. Here we have Carl with his mother at Eagle Heights Community Gardens, where they at one time did have their gardens. And down here, this is Doug at the Troy Gardens, where he currently is gardening. And he looks very happy with his first rather large basket of salad greens for the spring. There's also many gardens out of the community at home. Again, Barb and Bob have had gardens for many years, and they've also planted pollinator, butterfly, and hummingbird-friendly plants in their front garden. And this shows a common buckeye butterfly in one of their gardens. And Bob has also dug a rain garden that collects rainwater to aid in recharging the groundwater. Down here, Renee and Jason started a garden in the yard in pots this year, and they feel it's doing well, and they have a little helper here, Coraline. And over, Kathy and Randy, I have a small urban vegetable and herb garden, which is probably primarily therapeutic. And Karen and Andy have been growing more food plants this year in their garden, and they have a lot of native plants. More gardens. We have Holly's living in a new house this year, and she's put in raised beds in the front that are doing very well. John and Suzanne are also in a new home and have put raised beds in their yard, and that's pretty darn amazing looking lettuce and basil. Some real long-term gardeners, Al and Eileen, have had gardens for a long time. Their house is right here behind Eileen's. Their whole front yard is a rain garden. And in their backyard, they have a large vegetable garden, and they are very nice, both as other people in community gardens, at sharing some of their produce. Carl and Paula have also, this is their whole backyard, have raised beds and have gardened, and they have not only a vegetable garden, they also have a native prairie plants garden. Those who contemplate the beauty of the earth find reserves of strength that will endure as long as life lasts. Rachel Carson. Moving from continuing with gardens, but looking more a little in yards, we have here with Morris and Alice have planted multiple species in to reduce soil erosion. Their yard slopes down into neighbors' yards on into Monona. And they they've tried to reduce both invasive and non-native plants, and they feel it's a pretty welcome environment for local animals. Ken and Judy have both rain and butterfly gardens, and both of them receive all the water and runoff from the front of their house here. Margaret has used shade-loving plants to not only help stabilize her yard, but also to provide a great deal of beauty. Kathy and Randy have removed all grass from their front and backyards for no mowing and no fuel use. And most of the people that garden and did state that they don't use chemicals in the yard and garden. So all these wonderful gardens and yards, be they large, small, community, home, vegetable, rain, butterfly, hummingbird, they all provide us with many things like fresh food, food for preserving, and you look here, it shows Peggy with an armload of canned peaches. And both Amy and Bob and Carl and Paula have chickens, raised chickens, and produce many eggs. And this is a CSA from Julie and Jim, and many members mentioned that they belong to CSA. Surprisingly, even some members who have very large gardens, community gardens, and gardens at home, such as Bob and Barb, also still support being a member of CSAs. This is produce from Carl and Paula's garden. And many of gardens also are just nice to look at because they produce flowers. Probably the second to gardening was recycling, composting. Many, many people mentioned that they do composting of their food materials as well as leaves and other yard waste. Some of note is Penny has submitted, this is a closet in her kitchen, and she has composting worms living here. And they take all of her kitchen scraps, turn it into compost and fish food. Several people have mentioned rain barrels, and Bob Park even made his own. This rain barrel of Kathy and Randy's was actually purchased and installed via a prairie auction offering by Doug, and it waters our complete garden. And this is just some examples of a couple of the different composting equipment and methods from Julie and Jim, and from Morris has a handy one here that he can crank. And Harlan had chose gerbils as pets because they're excellent shredders of both paper and cardboard. And this work by these gerbils was also offered in the prairie auction, and people have purchased to get some paper shredding done. If a child is to keep alive his inborn sense of wonder, he needs the companionship of at least one adult who can share it, rediscovering with him the joy, excitement, and mystery of the world we live in. Richard Carson. Many prairie folks who happen to own homes have done some converting for alternative energy. Barb and Bob Park, you see up here on the top, they have a solar hot water collector, and they also have a high efficiency gas space heater installed in their fireplace, so they can wait a little later in the fall to turn the furnace on, and then in the spring turn it off a little earlier. Ken and Judy save about half of their hot water cost with their solar panel. They also added foam insulation when they were residing their house this past year. Disa and Richard have now completed their new home, and they used house insulation, windows, HVAC equipment, everything possible to reduce energy needs. They have 24 solar panels, and they provide all the electricity for their house and for their electric car. In fact, they've been selling extra solar production, energy production to MG&E. Doug is shown here in a booth at the Midwest Renewable Energy Fair. He has made, it's this white box in the back, he designed and made a portable biodigester to produce renewable gas. And in this booth at the fair, he was demonstrating how to cook with it. As for transportation, conserving fuels, Kent uses a bike whenever possible, and he's even taken a 2,700-mile adventure. A lot of gas saved there. Many people reported riding bikes whenever possible, and particularly now, in this time of quarantine, people feel they have been riding bikes more than usual. Carl and Paula have electric bikes also. This is their daughter Toby on one of the electric bikes. Jim and Julie use an electric lawnmower to reduce fuel use. And Dan and others ride public buses whenever possible. John and Nancy have an electric car. They've driven 3,700 miles in the past year and have saved 336 tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. Pretty amazing. Their electric bikes are 100% solar powered for the past 2 years. Kathy and Randy don't have air conditioning, but they have window quilts, and the window quilts help keep out the extremes of either hot or cold throughout the year. Katrina and Tony have an electric car, and they haven't bought gas in a year. Wish I could say that. Bob and Bob have a plug-in Prius, which has both options. Jim and Julie have joined the Sierra Club Beyond Coal to help campaign for replacing the dirtiest fuel source. The question is whether any civilization can wage relentless war on life without destroying itself and without losing the right to be called civilized. Rachel Carson. The sidewalk says, science has spoken, it's time to listen. There were endless home conservation measures. I will try to highlight on some of them. This shows Paula and Toby out shoveling snow, so not using a snowblower. They are using body fuel and getting exercise in the process. Mary had attended a workshop at the Arboretum, and they were talking about use of salt. And what she holds in her hand here, this small container is enough salt to do a 20-foot driveway. And she's campaigned to teach others about this reduced salt use and has registered a complaint with the city of Madison about reckless salt use. Most people mentioned using efficient thermostats and energy efficient appliances. Over here, we have a plastic bag dryer that Martin made so that if plastic bags are used, they can be washed and reused, which saves collecting more. Carl and Paula and others hang clothes to dry outside and not just, we think of it in the summer, but not just in the summer, they also hang their clothes to dry inside in the winter. And the advantage, another advantage of this is that this gets humidity into houses that are pretty usually dry in the winter due to heat. More home conservation. Randy and Kathy use cloth napkins, cloth towels, and a very choosy about buying safe cleaning solutions and make their own soap. They're also in the process of replacing all light bulbs with LED, as many others mentioned both of these activities. We have Ron here demonstrating their use of cotton napkins, And then also the use of cloth bags, which many people do. And Ron here is shaving with a tube of shaving cream to avoid buying and having to recycle aerosols. lots of people mentioned conserving water in showers, brushing teeth, doing dishes. A couple of families have installed low flow toilets, and Mary sent a picture that she washes her whole car with one bucket of water. More recycling. Everybody seems to recycle. That's really wonderful. Morris and Alice, here's a have submitted this picture of 65 cell phones that they had recently put in for recycle. Harlan repurposed a sweater to make a dog bed for his grandmother. Barb and Ron and many others recycle items to either recycling plant or to local stores like St. Vinny's, Habitat Restore, and Goodwill, as well as purchase items at those places. Here's a picture of Randy during quarantine pricing Habitat Restore items in our dining room at home. There was something infinitely healing in the repeated refrains of nature, the assurance that dawn comes after night and spring comes after winter. Rachel Carson. On to more recycling. This is more community recycling. In the RE program in the spring, we've had most years a spring cleanup, and the young people go out and with bags and collect. This shows Liam, activity of Nifty Gifty is in the fall, kids making gifts with recycled and repurposing items. The king of all recyclers here, Gary, has been known for his bicycling recycling efforts throughout Madison. He has been noted in several written articles and features. He has historically has collected 25 to 30,000 cans a year. With 1 year, he has topped, we collected 250,000 cans. Amazing effort for one person. This isn't Rick, but Rick and Erlen had listed, they've worked really hard, almost every conservation effort that I have mentioned. And one in particular I wanted to quote because I thought it was quite interesting. Rick had written, while dog walking with rubber boots and gloves, a utility rake and a 5 gallon bucket, Rick spent a year cleaning garbage and trash from the wooded undergrowth, marshes, lake and river shores of Fish Camp County Park. Among his finds was an airplane propeller, axe, car batteries, pornographic tapes and magazines, rolls of wire, lumber from docks, rusted gas cans, fishing line, thousands of cans, plastic shotgun column wads, bottle caps and pop tops, cigarette butts, duck decoys, and over 60 bobbers and lures. So this just shows what the efforts of one person can be. And I know that Mary and others intermittently go out with bags and also collect from roadsides and public areas. We have some more community volunteers. Karen is the coordinator of the native plant sale at UW Arboretum, and so she gets to relate to thousands of gardeners. This year being a year of quarantine, she only did 5,000 orders. That was pretty impressive. Gary, again, has spent years of conducting controlled burns of prairies and other lands in conservation. And he now burns our native prairie that's in front of our building. Mary and Barb are both on the Marlboro Community Garden Management Committee, and this is a picture of them in a Zoom Garden Committee meeting. And Aiden, one of our high school youth, was at Pine Ridge Reservation last fall, and his group worked on winterizing trailer homes. This reduced both the energy and money they needed to keep their homes warm and safe. By acquiescing in an act that causes such suffering to a living creature, who among us is not diminished? Rachel Carson. I think that most prairie members are out there really making efforts to care for other living creatures. Suzanne and John had built this wonderful wire sculpture tree next to their bird feeder. And we have Paula filling a bird feeders during winter. And as Carl says, you may not get the guest you expected as seen by this flying squirrel living in their bird blocks. And this respect for animals is carried out by people staying safe distances when they're encountering wild, free, roaming wildlife. Of course, probably everybody would want to stay away from the bear here. And then John is currently pursuing a Wisconsin DNR license to rehabilitate wildlife and being mentored in the care of gray flying and 13 striped brown squirrels. These are some pictures of some rescued brown squirrels he had helped raise. And finally, looking at community jobs, businesses, and also the UUA. Orange and Dean, as local business owners, have stated that they're very conscious of the impact of what they sell in the world. Is it well made so it will last? Is it excessively packaged? Does it feature any recycled or recyclable material? Can we source it in our region and or from a small maker? They encourage consumers to buy environmentally friendly products such as reusable straws and shopping bags for taking to the grocery store and chemical-free cleaning products. They're happy to be able to introduce this to their customers. Many members are also members of local food co-ops, and some people do all of their shopping through the co-ops. And then also a lot of people do go to the weekly go to the farmers markets. Carl had mentioned during his work time through the conservation easement program, he helped save this farm, this particular farm, one of the many farms he saved through this program. He said this farm here was actually built by Welsh stonemasons in 1881. So it was wonderful that they could save that. The UUA has a working group called Ministry for the Earth. Many Prairie members had careers in natural resources, and given all the interest that you've shown with these submissions, I think I would suggest going on the UUA site and looking up the Ministry for the Earth programs. There's some that are pretty wonderful, and people might be interested in joining. So I'm not going to continue, but this just gives you some sense of all of the different groups, organizations that people have volunteered for, contributed money to, continue to support. To mention a few, Cindy mentioned that she has, with the Rainforest Rescue, become an official land conservator. Carl worked with the Groundswell Conservancy during his job and continues now in his retirement for helping to protect special places. The Nature Conservancy has honored Gary and Pam as legacy members, living their values. And we have two master gardeners, and Barb and Karen. And Barb currently volunteers for the Old Brick Garden to help answer people's questions about plants. So there were so many contributions that I have tried to list, and all I would say is that I hope we keep up our amazing efforts, and I would love to have some of these people I featured on their own give some programs talking about all of the work that they have done. One way to open your eyes is to ask yourself, what if I had never seen this before? What if I knew I would never see it again? Rachel Carson. Thank you. Dan, do I just stop share? Okay.
Well, thank you so much. I think it's only about 20 minutes to 11, so we would have time for a few comments here. And so if anyone has any comments, I think Renee will let you unmute yourself. Is that correct?
Yeah, you have to either raise your hand or you have to do, there's like a virtual hand in the participant box that a little hand gets raised. So if you want to say something, if you want to go like this, I'll go find you, and I'm looking to see hands. Also, some of you don't have your video on, so I won't know All right, I see Karen's hand. Karen, you're good to go.
Okay, I need to claim less credit than what Kathy gave me, because I don't coordinate the native plant sale at the Arboretum as a volunteer. I actually am the staff person who gets paid for that. And this year we got 5,000 plants out, but it was only about 300 orders, because a lot of those were full flats of garden mixes. So not as many orders and not as selfless.
Pretty amazing.
But it's a really fun, great effort. So I encourage everybody to volunteer and shop when we get it going again.
Awesome. Do you want to call on someone, Mary?
Oh, all right. Barbara Park. I saw her hand.
Okay, hold on. Let me get to the...
One, raise your hand.
Does that work?
Maybe because both of us were trying to do something.
Okay, I'm not going to do it. Let you do it. Yeah, see, if we both hit it, then we're just canceling out. Okay, go ahead. Oh, wait. Now it's muted again.
I don't know. There she goes.
There we go.
I just wanted to mention that Karen has also been organizing our gardening group for Prairie. And I think anybody who's really interested in landscape and gardening, contact Karen, and we need to get going again working at the building. So there's another opportunity.
I see Al.
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay.
Let's see.
Still not.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. My thing doesn't seem to be working. There we go.
Now he's on.
What you did.
Tell now me. You're working.
You pressed it.
It's good, Al.
You're on.
I'm on?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just to follow up on what Barb said, the contractor finished up planting the grass in the west yard of Prairie this week, and is working on the front. And we need a volunteer to help water that new seed. So if anybody can help in making sure that grass grows, it would be wonderful.
Is the hose out there, Al, or how do you go about it?
Karen.
I guess contact Karen.
Oh, okay. Renee, you want to unmute Karen first?
Hold on. I have to find maybe it's just on your pictures. There we go. That's easier. You're good, Karen.
Okay. I didn't know the grass seed was going down already. So the hoses are not out yet, but we'll get that going really quickly, Mary, so that if you're willing to go over and turn on sprinklers and turn off sprinklers, that would be wonderful.
Will the sprinklers be set up, so, or will they have to be moved? Do you know yet?
I don't know yet. I mean, we only have two hose outlets available in the back, and there's a really large area. So I think there'll be some moving involved.
Okay, I think I saw Kathy's hand a while back, or Randy.
I just wanted to emphasize some of the work we've been doing in terms of the Green Sanctuary. We became Green Sanctuary members years ago through the efforts of countless number of Prairie members, and we've continued our commitment, most notably in a lot of work with Al and John Wunderland, John Gernot, and all sorts of other folks with putting LEDs into the remodeling efforts. So we're continuing our commitment in that area too.
I forgot this website.
Any other hands? Oh, Penny. Penny Eiler. She's had her hand up for quite a while there.
That's okay. I just wanted to say to all the gardeners, Yeah, I have the worm bin and everything, but I live in a condo and I'm not allowed to do any gardening or anything. So I have all this lovely vermiculture tea, and eventually I'll have the vermiculture itself. I'm still, you know, going through the different tiers and everything. And also, if you're a fisherman and you need red wigglers, I've got plenty. So just, you know, they're all available, and it's all organic, and yeah.
I think I see Elizabeth's hand.
Where is, oh. Hold on. There you go. All right, Elizabeth.
I'm new to this. I just discovered this today, but I have been photographing my property every 5 years for the past 18 years and documenting a forest taking over it. And with my background, I have a PhD in forest ecology from somewhere else, explain how it reduces our use of heat or cooling on the house and various other functions. But what I don't know is, are you able, I was hoping to submit a couple pictures to this in time. Obviously, this is, I didn't get it in time. Are you able to see something on my computer now? Like, it's on a Word. You probably can't see that. I couldn't switch over. I could just show you real quick.
It's on your computer.
My window. This was a lawn 15 years ago, and if we can't do it, it's just that I bought it when it was just a pure lawn, and the Drainage Commissioner told me you can't even see the house on aerial photograph because it's grown so fast. But you I could talk to somebody later and show you the difference, because what I'm trying to do is do something online when I learn these skills and try to get other people while they're in their homes quarantined to, you know, play with their plants. And those warblers, oh, you could probably see them in this bush too that wasn't there before. So is there a way that I could go down to my another screen and...
Yeah, so do you have, like pictures in a Microsoft Word document or something?
Yeah, can you see this? You can see this right here?
No, I have to make you a co-host, and then there's a button in Zoom that says share screen. Do you want to press the share screen and give it a go?
It doesn't take too much time. I'm sorry.
We've got a couple minutes. We can give it a try. If it doesn't work, then you could maybe send an email to like Dan or something, and we could maybe post the pictures.
I'll try to do it quickly here. So I'm going to go to
share screen. There should be a little button somewhere if you have like a bottom toolbar that says share screen.
I know I saw it before, but.
You have to mouse over it.
And you have to click on it.
Okay, share screen, got it. There it is. This is it.
Not sharing yet. You usually have to select what you want to share and then actually say like, okay, or it usually says something like.
Share computer sound up tonight. Not a video, it's just a word.
It asks for sound. You can, there we go. Yeah,
okay,
now I see it.
This is when I bought it. You can see that this little tree, it's amazing. The problem was there was runoff on the road and I didn't like it going into the lake, so I diverted it to these shrubs. This is 5 years later. How fast? So, well, actually I should say till to 2010. This is what that tree. And then when you go down, hopefully if I can move this down, so then this is what it first looked like. After all of those trees moved in, then this cast enough shade to shade the whole yard. And upshot is in 2015, everything was shaded and I had wildflowers, trillium, and you name it. And that's as fast as I can go. But yes, it took a lot of mulching and then canopy. So I'm trying to get it down to 5 minutes. Could you see all that?
Yep, we saw it all. So then just say stop for the screen share.
Oh, okay.
And so it will go back.
My goal though is anybody can do this. It's not rocket science. You just kind of shove the mulch over all the time and it, a lot of ecosystem functions can, you know, like in urban areas where it's really hot, it can really cool things down.
Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Here, I actually stopped it for you, so you're all
safe. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Was there anyone else? Sorry, Mary. Looking for hands, if I see any hands. That looked, I don't see any more hands, Mary.
Well, I'd really like to thank Kathy for showing all those pictures and everyone who provided some. It made me think of things that I was doing that I hadn't even thought of. So I think we can go on to the virtual, we have some closing words. They're by Toby Wacker and read by Randy Converse.
The river meets the ocean, I shall not want. I lay me down in green pastures, I walk beside the still waters. My soul restores itself, I follow the paths of truth for wisdom's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for the wind is with me, the earth and the sky, they comfort me. I find a place in the midst of mine enemies. Cobwebs bloom in the silence. My hands spill sunlight. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the world till we are all ended. By Toby Wacker.
Our closing song will be by Carl Wacker. It's a song that he's written and recorded, and probably you can sing along with it too.
This time it is the correct song.
Way back in the 80s, I lived in Danville, Illinois, surrounded by cornfields. Every spring when the fields were treated with herbicides and fertilizers, we'd get warnings about drinking the local water. It had its own distinctive look and flavor. So, one day, Judy and I wrote a song about the water to the tune of She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain. In this version, my daughter Toby plays the harmonica.
Yes, I do. Got that good old Denver water, tastes like mud. Yes, I do. Got some atrazine and nitrate, so I love to pay them high rates. Got that good old Denver water in my blood. Yes, I do. It comes straight out of the river, full of mud. Yes, I do. They add chlorine and then they take out.
Thank you. Well, it's time for our virtual coffee hour, and I'd like to start by welcoming any guests and visitors. So if you're here for the first time or second time or haven't attended in a while, we invite you to introduce yourself and say what brought you here if you'd like to do so. Just raise your hand and I'll unmute you. I think you can unmute yourself as well.